Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Jeremiah chapter 23, that which was our scripture reading, our second scripture reading. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And our subject this morning is the fire and the hammer, the fire and the hammer. And we come this morning to this book of the prophet Jeremiah, the words of the prophet Jeremiah. And it wasn't so long ago that I preached a message drawn from this same prophet, from his words, although it wasn't actually from this book of Jeremiah. It was from the book of Lamentations. There are two books that the prophet Jeremiah wrote. He's the writer, of course, of this book, the book of Jeremiah that bears his name, but also Lamentations, the book that follows. And just to remind you of who Jeremiah is, just in case you've forgotten, Jeremiah was, of course, a prophet of the living God, one through whom the Lord spoke. And we see this very clearly in this chapter, that Jeremiah, when he writes, although he is the writer, he is not giving his opinions. We are not reading Jeremiah's views, his own opinions. We are reading the Word of God. That is what the Old Testament is. Holy men of God spake as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. He is a prophet, and he lived 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ, before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So over 2,500 years ago for us. But he was not a popular prophet. The people did not like what he had to say to them, because he was one whom the Lord had sent to warn the people, to warn the kingdom of Judah of a great calamity that was just about to fall upon them. The kingdom of Judah would fall itself, Jerusalem would fall, and who would they fall to? They would fall to the Babylonians. The Babylonian Empire, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, would take the kingdom, would take the city. This is, of course, all true history, verifiable history. The Bible is true history. And so this would happen, and this would be a great catastrophe, a great tragedy. Jerusalem would be taken, and all the inhabitants, virtually all the inhabitants, would be taken into captivity for 70 years. But there was a reason why this was happening to the Jews. Because of their sin, because they had forgotten their God, the God of their forefathers. They had begun worshipping other gods. They were guilty of idolatry. There was oppression in the land. There was corruption in the land. All sorts of things were wrong with the kingdom. We read at length in this chapter how even the prophets, the false prophets, the people who claimed they were prophets, were not speaking the word of God. They were speaking their own opinions. So Jeremiah was someone who was truly moved of God. He spoke the word of God, not what the people wanted to hear. He spoke the word of God. That's why he was so unpopular. But then there were other people, false prophets, who were just telling the people what they wanted to hear. They were not coming with the word of God. They were coming with their own opinions and their own dreams and visions and so on. And this, well, God was not pleased with this. This was all terrible. This was why this great calamity would fall upon Judah. And I'll mention this again a bit later. But this was why Jeremiah was not popular. He was telling them a great calamity is coming, and it's your fault. It's because of your sin, because you have neglected God, you have ignored him, and you have forgotten him. And so this is why He was a prophet who was not popular, but the Lord was speaking to him, and it was his word. And this brings us, well, our focus is going to be on verse 29. These words, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" This is the word of God. "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord." It's not Jeremiah's word. This is what the Lord is saying. "And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." Well, the Lord is describing his word. His word is like a fire and like a hammer. So this is in contrast to the false prophets. The false prophets were just saying things that were nice and friendly and just stroking the people. God's word is like a fire and like a hammer. There's the contrast. But what can we learn from these words this morning? Can they teach us anything about the gospel? Well, of course, they can. And let me spend the rest of our time to explain this to you. Now, the word of God is being described, as I've already mentioned. Now, when we think of the word of God today, for us in the gospel age in which we live, we've lived in the gospel age for the last 2,000 years since the coming of Christ and the apostles. Well, the word of God for the last 2,000 years is the Bible. It is this written word. And it is only this Bible. There is no other word that is inspired. There is no other word of God. It is only the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. This is what we believe in this church. This is what we affirm in this church. We believe in the authority of the Bible and the sufficiency of the scripture. And we believe these things because this word is the only thing we can trust. This word is the only thing that truly determines and defines our faith. Everything that we do as a church and as Christians, it comes from the word of God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It doesn't come from the world, from the morality of the world. It comes from the Bible. The scriptures are sufficient. And so this is what we see as the word of God. And we trust in the word of God. So I'm going to apply these words to the Bible. Now, how is the word of God as a fire? Well, there are many things I can say, but in the ancient world, in the time of Jeremiah, fire was another word for light. That's really what fire meant. Fire nowadays, of course, we don't really see many fires, but you would always see it in the ancient world because it was the only way you could see in darkness, in a dark place. You couldn't flick on a switch. There was no electricity to put a light on. Fire meant light. You needed a fire to see when it was dark. And so isn't that a great description of the word of God? It is a light in a dark place, the Bible. It shows light. It shows us the way in times of darkness. It is so applicable to the word of God. This world, and I so often say it, is a dark place. It is full of sadness. It is full of grief. It's full of tragedy, war. We're seeing nowadays corruption and wickedness. But the word of God, it gives light. It brings light to our world. Without the word of God, what hope would we have? We would be lost, hopeless. Lost in darkness, but the word of God is like a fire. It helps us see. It helps us see marvelous things. It helps us see meaning to our lives. I was speaking at a funeral not so long ago, and this was one of the points I made. If you are an atheist, if you are an unbeliever, well, ultimately everything is meaningless. They will tell you there is no great meaning to this world, to this universe. We're just all here by accident. It's just a freak occurrence, an accident. So there's no real meaning, of course not. But this word, it brings light to our lives. We're not just wandering about on this earth without meaning. There is meaning, there is purpose, and we see it only because we have the Word of God. There is a true God, a God whom we can know. We read this even in this chapter in verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? God is at hand. You can know him. He's not afar off. Again, atheists, unbelievers will always say, if there is a God, there is no way we can know him. There's no way of knowing what he's like. Perhaps there is a God somewhere, who knows, but he hasn't revealed his will to us. We don't know what he's like. We don't know what he wants us to do. Yes, we do. We have the Word of God. This is the light. This is the fire, the Word of God. It shows us, it sheds light on who God is. What he's like, his attributes, what he has done for us. It teaches us that he is our creator, and that is what brings great meaning to our lives. Dear friends, you can only have meaning in your life, true meaning, you have to know two things. You have to know where you've come from and where you are going. That's the only way you can have true meaning in your life. If you don't know these things, there is no meaning to your life. Where you've come from, where you are going. The answer to both is God. God is where we have come from. He's our creator. We would not have life. We would not have breath without him. We have not come out of thin air. God has created us. He is where we have come from. And where we are going to God. We will meet him one day. That is an appointment that you cannot cancel. Many appointments in our lives we don't want to do. If we don't want to go to church, we don't have to come. If we don't want to go and see the doctor, you can cancel it. There is an appointment with the Lord you cannot cancel. So you have come from God, and you will go to meet with God one day. And so the Word of God, what does it teach us? What does it shed light on? Well, how will it be for you? That's the great question. What will that meeting be like for you, that appointment with God? What will it be like for you? Dear friends, you don't know any of these things unless you have the Word of God, the fire that gives light. That's what fire meant in the ancient world, and it's still applicable. Fire, of course, well, in the ancient world and even now, fire was a serious thing. Let me present it to you in this way. If you see a fire, well, is that not a serious thing? Even if it's a small fire, if you went out into the front of the church and you just saw a small fire, well, you wouldn't just ignore it, would you? You wouldn't just say, oh, well, I can just forget about it. It's just a small fire. You have to do something about it. You have to act. You have to respond. You have to put it out. It's not something that can be ignored. That's the Word of God. The Word of God is not something that can be ignored. You just come and listen to it and then just forget all about it. It's like a fire, dear friends. It's something that has to be taken seriously. And again, this was what was happening in Judah. Not only were these prophets having dreams and visions that meant absolutely nothing at all, but they were being so light with the Word of God. You don't have to worry about anything, they were saying to the people. And do we not have this in the modern church? You go to most churches, what do they say? Oh, just God. Well, it's just a happy message about be nice to people, help people, do this, do that. Just a nice, light message. That's it. But the Word of God is like a fire. You don't see any of the fire in the modern churches nowadays. It is a fire. It's a serious thing. It concerns your soul. It concerns eternity. As I've just said, where will you spend eternity? Is that not serious? You have to do something about it. You can't just hear the Word of God and then ignore it. You wouldn't ignore a fire, dear friends, because a fire gets worse and worse and will consume you. You have to do something about it. Do something about what you are hearing. Don't just let it go in one ear, out the other. The Word of God is like a fire. and it has great consequences if you ignore it. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of heaven or hell. What will it be for you, dear friends? The Word of God shows the way, but we must respond to it. It is serious. Is not my word like as a fire? Don't treat it trivially, dear friends. But one more application about the fire. I meant to be talking about the hammer as well, but I'll be brief on this. One more application about fire. Well, fire has a regenerating effect. Yes, fire can destroy. It does destroy everything in its path, but it also regenerates. You will know, I'm sure many of you know, that landowners will set their land on fire. Sometimes you see, particularly in America, those wild prairies, they are set on fire deliberately. Why are they set on fire? Because the fire regenerates the land. It replenishes the land. It encourages growth. You have to burn up the old and make way for the new. That is what fire does. It regenerates land. This is what the Word of God does. It regenerates us. When we believe in the Word of God, it changes us. You truly trust in the Word of God, you change. You don't stay the same. It's like a fire. If a fire runs through you, you won't stay the same. Of course not. This Word of God changes us. It regenerates us. The work of regeneration, others have put it, and well, of course, the Lord put it in this way, we are born again. The Word of God doesn't leave us untouched, unchanged, unaffected. It's like a fire. It regenerates us. The old is lost. The old man, the old nature is gone. Now we are made new. These are wonderful descriptions, aren't they, for the Word of God? The Word of God is like a fire. Dear friends, have you had that change? Is this what the Word of God has done to you? You have changed. You are born again. The old person that you once were is now gone. You are now a new creation in Christ. The fire of the Word of God has changed you. This is what it should have done. This is how the prophets, the preachers, ought to preach, not just that we can be born Christians or that you just make a light profession of faith. Are you actually changed? The Word of God is as a fire. Have you had that conversion experience? Well, dear friends, there's more I could have said about the fire, but we have to at least give some time to the hammer. Because God's word, yes, it's like as a fire, saith the Lord, but then he adds, it's also like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Why is that? Well, I have to be quick with these applications. We know, because the word teaches us, that the natural man, and perhaps there are people here, you are just not interested in the Word of God, and you have no desire for the Lord, you have no desire for the Word at all. And so, what does the Lord have to do? He has to break down your stony heart. That is what he has to do. When we hear the Word of God, well, it is like a hammer, because naturally, by nature, we don't want God. But the Word of God, every time you hear it, it's chipping away at your atheism. It's chipping away at your unbelief. Every time you hear it, it's like a hammer. And you may try to hide it. You may try to say to yourself and to others, I'm not affected by the Word of God. But every time you hear it, it is chipping away. A hammer that is breaking that rock, your stony heart, in pieces. This is why people don't want to hear the Word of God. This is why people don't want to come to church, and they want Christians silenced, because if they start to hear the Word of God, it will start to break down all of their unbelief. This is what the Word of God does. I've said it so many times. It's only the Word of God that troubles your conscience. You can listen to lectures on other religions, preachers from other religions. Yes, they may well say moral things and nice things, but it's only the Word of God that troubles you. It's a hammer, you see. It breaks down all that is false in your life. Again, we could mention it in this way or apply it in this way. This is a hammer of truth. You have imbibed all sorts of falsehood in your life. If you're an unbeliever here or an unbeliever listening, the Word of God has to break down all of your lies, all of the strongholds that you have in your life. There's no God, or there's no heaven, there's no hell, or the way to a happy life is just to do your own thing and live your own way. The Word of God has to smash all of these preconceptions, all of these assumptions. And this is what it does. The Word of God shows us, teaches us what true joy and true peace is knowing the Lord. To know the Lord Jesus is to know life eternal. True life is not found in sin. That's not true life. That's death. It's a form of death. You're dying. Life. It's to follow Christ, it's to know him. The Word of God has to break all of these lies that you have been taken in by. But this is perhaps the most applicable part of what the Word of God is like as a hammer. The Word of God, of course, has to break down our image of ourselves, has to break down that image that you may have or that the natural man has, that you are a good person. And this, again, is what so many people think. They think they are good people. They think they are righteous, that they are moral people and tolerant and fair people. And that, well, if they had to meet God, they would be good enough for the Lord. That's what people think. The Word of God smashes your delusion. That's a delusion. And how does it smash it? Well, we have the Ten Commandments. We spoke about this last week, so I won't go into detail. But the Ten Commandments, when you read the Ten Commandments, it utterly destroys any idea or conception that you have that you are a good person. Because you read it and you know that you have lied at least once in your life, and that you've stolen at least once in your life, and that you've hated people in your heart, and that you've lusted, you've committed adultery in your heart, that you've coveted. So this is how the Word of God breaks this delusion that you have. I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're not a good person. That is entirely broken in the standard of God. According to the Ten Commandments, we have all fallen short. And our consciences bear witness, all the secrets in our hearts, dear friends. You may appear a good person outwardly, but what about all the secrets that lie in your heart? Even here in this chapter, the Lord says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth? All the things you've done in secret, God has seen them. So, dear friends, don't think that you are a good person, that you're good in the sight of God. You are not. How can we be right with God, therefore? Is there a way? How can we avoid hell? How can we be sure that we will go to heaven? Well, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the one whom God the Father has sent. God the Father has sent God the Son to be our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even in this chapter, there is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I just read these words. I won't have time to explain much about them, but here, just see Christ in these words. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. That's the Lord Jesus. And a king shall reign and prosper, the true king, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. This is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous branch. In his days, Judah shall be saved. It will be a day of salvation, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Dear friends, this is so important to understand. How do we get to heaven? It's not because of your righteousness. It's not because of the good things that you've done or the good works you've done. The Lord is our righteousness. When you come to Christ, when you come to salvation, you confess your sin. Lord, I'm not good enough for heaven. I can't even hope to be good enough for heaven. And all the good works I've done are spoiled because of my sin. I've spoiled all my good work because of my sin, because of the times I've lied and the times I've stolen. I cannot even hope to go to heaven. I need the righteousness of Christ, the Lord, our righteousness. I need to believe in him. And this is what we believe in. I go to heaven not because I'm a good person, but because Christ, he is my righteousness. He lived a perfect life, and by faith it is credited, it is given to me. It's written here, even in Jeremiah, 600 years before Christ even appeared. But dear friends, how slow we are to understand this, how determined we are to cling to our own works. That's what we think, isn't it? It must have something to do with me getting to heaven. That's what we so love to think. It doesn't. The word of God destroys this. It's only in Christ in which we have our hope. The Lord is our righteousness. We trust in him and we trust in his atoning work on the cross. Well, just to mention the cross, we must mention the cross. It's the cross that takes away all of our sin. So you see, this is what the Lord does. He gives us righteousness, perfect righteousness, but he takes away our sin. That's what a Christian believes. We have sinned, but my sin has been taken from me, and it was laid on Christ on the cross. He took the punishment. I deserved it. He took it because he loved me. He suffered and died on the cross. That is what a Christian believes. He took the punishment. Christ was punished. In a way, you can put it in this way. The wrath of God was a hammer upon Christ, and God broke him in pieces. God the Father broke God the Son in pieces on the cross rather than us. The hammer of God's wrath fell upon him, and he was crushed. He was condemned in our place. And he did it all for us, out of love for us. Dear friends, our time is out. But just to conclude, how is it with you? You know, the fire and the hammer will describe also, or does describe, what will happen at the very end of time. At the end of time, we read elsewhere in the scriptures that this whole heaven and this whole earth will be regenerated. It won't just be like a field on the prairie, which is burnt to be replenished and regenerated. The whole heaven and the whole earth will be burnt up by fire, and it will be regenerated, a new heaven and a new earth by fire. So these words we can apply to what is going to come. There will be fire, but then there will be the hammer. The judgment will come. We will all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will all be judged. Dear friends, are you in Christ? Do you trust in him? If you don't trust in the Lord Jesus, well, the hammer will fall upon you. The punishment for your sin you will have to bear. Is it not far better, far wiser, to trust in Christ? The hammer fell upon him on the cross, and he has taken your punishment. He's borne it all away. Trust in him. Look to him and be saved. Why would you die? Why would you refuse him? Dear friends, this is the message. I trust, I hope, I pray that this word, this day, has been like a fire to you and like that hammer that is breaking away all of your unbelief. Just let it go. Let it go. One day all your unbelief will be gone, and it may be too late. But if you turn to the Lord now in repentance, there is grace, there is mercy in this life and forevermore. This is the word of God. This is the Lord speaking to us this morning. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? May the Lord bless these words to us